From Paul's letter to the Philippians, he writes these words, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and want, hunger and abundance. I can do all things in him who strengthens me." Kind of a breezy little letter for someone who's in prison, and that's what the letter to the Philippians is. It's a kind of thank you note. It's a kind of celebration of the Philippian church, a member of whom has just come to Paul, visited him in prison, and given him a gift. And Paul now sends him back to the community with his love and also with his prayers because he's been ill. It's Paul's thank you note to a church that's seeing him through difficult times. He's under sentence of death for sedition and treason, and he's probably not going to have that happen to him, and he knows it. In fact, the good news is catching on. Even the guards and the authorities are beginning to sense the goodness of the Christian gospel. So Paul's thankful, and he writes, in essence, I can deal with hunger and want, and also great joy and abundance, in him who strengthens me, by and large, through the community. He's learned the secret that the love and power of God comes to him through, in this instance, the Philippian church, but by extension, through the Church of Jesus Christ, even today. Well, how's he learned the secret? Well, he's learned the secret, first of all, through the value of the integrity of the body. And I think that there's a message there with regard to our own understanding of who we are, given who we think we are, but also given who we are as God's created people. How much is your integrity worth? Answering that question helps us learn the secret that sees us through. I'm getting ready to go to a conference this next week in Denver, and when you work for the state and you're filling out an expense report or an application for travel reimbursement, it's amazing how many hoops you have to jump through for this. It turns out I'm going to drive on this trip, which is a little unusual, and you could submit mileage costs for reimbursement, but only if those costs are less than the amount of what an airfare would be. So I have to go find out what the airfare would be, what the contract airfare is, and add it all up and figure it out. And it turns out the mileage reimbursement is a little bit less than the contract airfare, which is typically higher than the airfare you can get if you do it in advance and plan a little bit. So I started thinking, you know what I could do the next time around? I could pretend I'm driving, submit the mileage, which will be lower than the contract airfare, but would be higher than the discount airfare you can get if you plan ahead. So I'll just get that $200 ticket reimbursed for $400 because the contract airfare is $600. I can get $200 out of the university. And I'm going, well, you could, but how much is it worth? Well, $200. But, you know, it's kind of like the guy that offers a woman $100,000 if she'll spend the night with him, and she sort of agrees. I mean, it's $100,000. And the next morning, he gives her $50, and she said, well, what do you think I am? And he says, we've established that. Now we're just negotiating. To what extent do our creeds match our deeds? Well, we live in the company of people who seek to help us be better collectively than we might otherwise be individually. What would a child of God who knows him or herself to be a child of God do in a situation where you could do something you know violates your own values and get away with it? Well, how much is it worth? Well, it seems to me that the secret of learning to live with both plenty and in want comes with highlighting the value of the integrity that comes to us as a part of the body of Christ. Our creeds and our deeds have a greater chance of matching up when we get together regularly and recite our creeds together and build one another up. Secondly, I think we learn the secret that sees us through plenty and want through the opportunity to be honest and candid, if not one with another, certainly one with ourselves, and absolutely one with God. It's really hard to keep a secret these days. If you carry a cell phone or use a credit card, you leave an electronic trail everywhere you go. And just like Hansel and Gretel, they can find their way home or they can find you through the digital world. Well, interestingly enough, a House bill was passed by the state legislature a couple of months ago that has an impact on college professors. As of the fall of 2010, a year from now, we are by statute required to post on an internet site maintained by Texas Tech University not just how many classes we teach, not just how many articles we publish, but our formal curriculum vitae, the syllabi for every class we teach, including what we're going to be doing on any given day throughout the course of the semester. As though the people of the state of Texas had an interest in finding out when I was going to talk about religion in my introductory sociology class next year on or about November 8th. Well, any of that information can be had through an open records request. But in a bill that was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor, asking us to exceed a threshold of candor. Now, the irony of that coming from the state legislature is not lost on me, but we'll just leave that aside. Candor is not always easy. All of us live with a distance between what we put forward and what we hold back in the way we behave and the way we interact. Make no mistake about it, this is a front stage encounter between you and me. You're in something akin to your Sunday best, I've got a liturgical costume on, and we're both playing roles. On the other hand, there's a level of reality that goes with all of our encounters. The question is, how far is our front stage persona with our backstage reality? How close are they together? Well, politicians and clergy and others who are shown to be, through some perhaps internet trail, to have a great distance between front and backstage are rightly called forward for hypocrisy. The point is, I think, that through him who strengthens us, we can shorten the distance between front and backstage. You might as well get in front of it when you screw up, I guess would be one other way to say it. Wide receiver for the Oklahoma State University football team got into trouble not for the violation of the NCAA rule, which was you can't have certain kinds of encounters with professional athletes. It turns out he had dinner at Deion Sanders' house some months ago. Now that was a violation, but it was sort of misdemeanor territory for the NCAA. That could have been dealt with. The problem was he lied about it when they asked him. And for that, he's now been suspended from the Oklahoma State football team. In this day and age, you might as well be candid. And of course, that's not a new thing for people of God who've grown up in a church and understand themselves again in relationship to God and one another. Imagine the deepest, darkest secret you ever had. You didn't even want to pray about it, because God might find out then too. Wait a minute. Presumably, God already knows. Presumably, God has said, come unto me with that burden. And maybe even share it in a way with the people who love you. The truth tends to come out. Get in front of it and learn the secret that Paul knows. The God who gives you strength, who gives you strength through the community, will help you deal with even the truth and reality of your own situation. We learn the secret that we can do all things through him who strengthens us by measuring our integrity and by recognizing the freedom even to be candid. And thirdly, we learn the secret at crossroads, moments of transition in our lives, places that we must go when our children go to school, or when they stop coming up for children's sermons, or graduate from college, or get married, or have marriages end. We find ourselves at crossroads wondering what to do. As often as not, we are met there by the people with whom we share this life. I learned this week, almost by happenstance, what was for me really sad news. One of the earliest mentors in my life, certainly one of the first mentors in ministry, died about 3 weeks ago. This was the guy who was my internship supervisor when I was doing field education coming in my third year of seminary. He was my internship supervisor for all of a month. And then he called me into his office and said, I'm leaving this job, and you got to keep the wheels on this place until we get another person. And it turns out that the job to which he was going was in the church administrative office, and his job would be to place pastors in churches and deal with churches in transition. That would be his new job. And I was given a supervisor, a pastor across town, but by and large, I was stuck with keeping the wheels on a fairly large church for the next term of my internship, and I did so because he told me to. Well, that all happened, and I got a full-time job in the ministry shortly thereafter. And after 7 or so years of that, I approached a crossroads in my own sense of calling. It became clear to me that the one thing I wanted to do differently was change the focus of my ministry from parish work to teaching in some way. So I went back to graduate school. And I wasn't sure at that point what I was going to do with this ministry part of the calling. Well, out of the blue, and with no planning on my part, this same man, this same former supervisor and administrator now, called me and said, I know you're going back to graduate school, but there's this church about 30 miles away, and they're without a minister, and I need somebody to keep the wheels on for the next 7 or 8 months while they find one, and I know you can do that. I said, okay. So I did that, and that became the first of what has since become now, including the Christian Church and Post, 5 churches to which I've been able to apply that style of ministry, a style of ministry I didn't know I had, didn't know anybody had. And yet it was as a result of having met the right person in a crossroad who taught me that I can do all things. And so this style of ministry is something that related to this man who died 3 weeks ago. I'll never forget him. And I hold him in my own heart as much as in the history of my own life as someone who changed it irretrievably. Now, we all have people like that, people who've met us at crossroads that tell us the secret. Right now, right here, you'll do. Paul is confident. And thinking back on that story and many others, I find myself ever more confident that even when the chips are down, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Amen.